The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Bechukesai. A major part of the Sedra is devoted to what is known as the tochoches, the rebukes, the afflictions which HaKadosh Baruch Hu testifies to that will come upon Klal Yisrael im leisish only, if we do not listen to his Torah and his mitzvahs. A number of times before, and also last year, we devoted the shir to what we called Yisurim v'nishenis, afflictions and the shayness tests that people are given. This year I would like to devote a part of this year to going over some of the principles that we've learned in the past, relevant to every life, and then add something to it which we have not discussed in the past. Surin, this is classified as anything which stands up against the person. Problems, difficulties, afflictions, sufferings, hardships, punishments, inner conflicts and inner struggles that a person has. He's plagued by disappointments, setbacks, in whatever form, on the many, many forms that all of these things can take. And whether it's on the physical level, emotional, mental, or spiritual level. And whether it's a Dover Cotton or a Dover Godel, whether it's a small problem or a great problem, a small hardship or a great hardship. When it comes up against a person, this is what the sages classify as Yisuri. Nishonos, what are Nishonos? That's any of the above mentioned states or items, but that's when they become obstacles to a person in his path of fulfilling the will of Hashem in this world, of seeking spiritual perfection in this world, whether it's in Asei Tov, doing what's right, mitzvah Asei, or Suim Merah, or whether it's removing oneself from what doing what's evil, mitzvah leisa says, or whether it's in his limud Torah, the study of Torah, or in the great mitzvah bitchu b'Hashem adayad, where he should have full faith and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When these difficulties and hardships and problems become obstacles in the path of a person to fulfilling the above, and many times they force the person off such a path or set him back, or he goes astray to the right or to the left, then they are referred to as nishonos. They become tests and challenges in the person's path of Avedas Hashem, in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Now, it's Murgula Bapuma de Harbe Bene Odom. A common question that is asked is, why is so much affliction coming upon himself? This you hear many times. Why do I have so many problems? Nobody's life is problem free. Why do I have so many problems? Why all of a sudden is everything going wrong? Why all of a sudden is there so much sorrow? And so forth. Sometimes, actually, if you hear such a question, if a person feels that way, there's nothing abnormal about that question. There's nothing wrong with that question. That is part and parcel of life, as we're going to see. But sometimes a person asks a further advanced question. And this question sometimes comes from embitterment. Sometimes it's a tragic state of us, where one says, life has disappointed me. It's been a disappointment to me. I thought I would have a better life. But it didn't deal with me fairly. It's been a disappointment. Now let's see in the course of the evening if we can give some insight perhaps in regards to these two questions. Firstly, in regards to the first question. Why, a person says, do I have so many problems? The Gemara brings in Masechta Brachos Daf Hei Omar Ove Vitemer of Chizda Imreya Odom Shisurin Bayin Olov. A person sees that all of a sudden he's getting a lot of problems, he's getting a lot of hardships and difficulties, things that we mentioned before. Exactly our question. What should he do? First of all, Yefashfesh B'maisov. Then he has to, this calls for introspection. He has to investigate his deeds. Shnema nach besod rochenu v'nach keire v'noshuva ad Hashem. This could be the first sign that he's doing something wrong. Just like a person physically has got a pain. Well, sometimes it's a pain which will just come and go, so he can ignore it. But if it doesn't go, or if it keeps coming back, then he would be the fool to ignore it. The body is telling him something. It's a red light, or at least an orange light. Something is wrong. And he would be a fool to ignore it until damage is already done that he could have prevented. So the same thing, if he sees that he's getting a lot of problems, this is an orange light or a red light. Something is wrong. And he must not just ignore it, but he has to, just like someone physically, he goes to a doctor to find out what's wrong. Here, spiritually, he has to find out what's wrong. Let him look at his deeds. Maybe he's not keeping mitzvahs the way he should. Maybe he's not fulfilling the positive commandments. Maybe he's transgressing negative commandments. A very common case where people will tell you, but I'm Shomer Shabbos, I keep Shabbos, and I go to shul, and I keep kosher. Maybe speaking too much Lashon Hara. People will say, well, I don't speak that much Lashon Hara. Unfortunately, as the Chofetz Chaim says, people don't even know what Lashon Hara is to know whether they're speaking Lashon Hara or not. So that could be the case. So you fast fish by myself. Generally, a person can find out the cause. Why are these problems coming upon him? And he can correct it. Leimotza. But what happens if he looks and he investigates and he doesn't find? He's keeping all of the mitzvahs to the best of his ability. He's fulfilling all of the negative commandments to the best of his ability. He's doing chesed. He's not speaking Lashon Hara. So what should he do? The Nidle Bebitl Torah. Shnema Rashre Ageva Ashet Yasrenu Ko Meteroskas Lamdeno. Then, it could be that he's not doing something wrong, but he could be learning more Torah. And this is a signal that he should learn more Torah, spend more time learning Torah. As David HaMelech said, fortunate is the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicts, and from there he will come to study more Torah. Okay, good. What happens if he's a machmit? He's using every spare minute and all of his energies for studying Torah. So it can't be that either. Torah wasn't given to the angels, it was given to human beings. If he's learning as much as he can, then you should know they are known as Yisurin Shel Ava, affliction that comes from love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, as it says, Ki es Hashem Yehov, Hashem Yechiach. More brings a pasuk in Mishlei, the entire verse, it's actually two verses, is in Mishlei, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, Musar Hashem B'ni Al Timos. Musar, that comes from the word to be Miyasar. The affliction of Hashem, don't reject. Nobody likes to be punished. Nobody likes to be afflicted. Now, Shlema Melech, King Solomon in his wisdom said, do not reject. See, do not reject and do not disdain affliction. And do not disdain rebuke. Many times people don't want to go hear the Droshon Shul because they say the Rov is going to criticize us. I don't like criticism. Shlema HaMelech said, you should run to hear such things. It's a mitzvah. We have here in the this week's Sedra, we have a long parsha of the Techoches, of the rebukes. If you noticed that aliyah we give to one person, and it's an oversized aliyah. Why don't we break it up? So the Gemara says the reason why we don't break it up because it states al tokets b'seichachtei ein mafsikin beklolis, because then it looks like we don't like it. Looks like we dish out only a little to each person, because who likes it? And Shlema HaMelech said that you should run to hear rebuke. You should run to hear a critique on yourself. Naturally, we're speaking where it's a genuine critique. We're not speaking about just politics, or it's sincere, because that improves a person. So this is what Shlema HaMelech said. Musar Hashem B'ni said, my son, don't disdain or reject affliction or rebuke. Ki es asher ye'ahav Hashem yechiach u'chov es ben yirtzeh, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebukes and afflicts only those that he loves, like a father to a son. Father is not going to come and worry about someone else's son. He's not going to worry too much that this someone else's son's Beryl or David's son is not doing this right and not doing that right. All right, he might telephone the father and tell him I'm finished. He's not going to lose too much sleep over it. But when his own son, because he wants his son to be perfect, why does he want his son to be perfect and Beryl and David's son not to be perfect? Because of the enormous love that a father has for a son. What one loves, they want to be perfect. And when they see their son doing even the smallest thing wrong, he gets all upset and all angry, and he starts to give him musar, and starts to criticize him, because they want perfection from their sons. Same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bother too much with those nations that he hates, that are his enemies. Alright, many times he's got to punish them. Many times he's got to destroy them. So he says, let me destroy them and get rid of them. But enough is enough with them. Or with Rishoyim, evil people. But those that he loves, he wants them to be perfect. Another example we give, Lahabdil, you have a trainer. A trainer has an athlete. He's got a rugby player, a cricketer, or a tennis star, or a golfer. Who's he going to bother with? those that he see are Beinonim. Look, they're pretty good, but they'll never be a star. He's not going to bother with them too much. But those that he sees can be a star, they can become a champion, a world champion. We can send them to London, to Wimbledon, we can send them to America, and for Europe and to the Olympics. He's not going to have any rachmonis on that person. He's going to work him and work him, and the athlete wants to know why the coach, everyone else, he lets get away with murder, and me, the little, most little thing I do, and he gives me a mapolo. No rachmonis, because he has a love for that one, and he sees what can come from that person, and he's not going to let him waste his life. So this is what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. A father, look, David's got a son that's a delinquent or a criminal, that's his problem. But I'm not going to let that go with my son. So therefore, ki es asher ya'ah, ki es asher ya'ah Hashem yichiyah, ukov es bein yirzeh. Kodesh Baruch Hu only bothers with the ones that he loves, like a father with a son. So therefore, therefore, if you cannot find anything in particular that he's doing wrong, then the Yisurin shall Ava. Now the Maral explains that the first level of Yisurin can come because something is not right. Like we said, just in the physical body, something's not working right, it's going to create a problem. But we must look at the Yisurin as a great chesed. Just like if the body could not communicate to us its pain, oh, we would be in great difficulty, great problems. You put your hand on a stove and you feel no pain, and you only realize it, heaven forbid, he has no hand left. So just like pain comes to a person, this is the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the body has a way of telling us. It's the same thing if Yisurin comes. But what happens if people say, I have so many problems, but they don't do anything about it? It's like a person putting his hand on the fire, and he's got tremendous pain, but he doesn't do anything about it. Oh, then it's bad. So that's the first level. What happens if we experience difficulties, but it's not because we're doing anything wrong? Then, the Gemara tells us, it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing this pain, this suffering to us, not because we're doing something wrong. But we can go to a higher level in study of Torah. We can do more in the study of Torah. So therefore it says, Im le motso, ikler bitulter. Person should examine, it could be a signal that he can learn more Torah. Now there's a third level. He's doing everything right. He's learning as much Torah as he can. And still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and makes sure that he's got plenty of problems. What then? This is like Lahavdil, we said, that this person has the potential to become a star athlete. He wants to know, I'm doing everything right. I don't keep late nights. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't eat what I'm not supposed to. I do all my training, and I do as much or more than everyone else, and still the coach doesn't let up with me. Because yes, he's doing everything right, but still his ultimate potential is not being tapped. He can climb and soar to greater levels, and that comes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts even greater pressure on him. And these people, so be yaduin shel yisurin shel ava, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives these to who he loves. So the more he loves one, the more he chastises him. Then the Gemara carries on and says, Omar Ovo, Omar Rav Schaira, Omar Rav Huna, Kol Sha Kodesh Baruch Hu Chofetz Bei, Medakri B'Yisurim. Shnema V'Hashem Chofetz, Dako Echili. Those that are Kodesh Baruch Hu wants, these are the ones that he brings affliction in, and Medakri means to the point where he purifies the person with affliction. Affliction does a lot to a person. Problems make a man out of a person. It purifies them. It perfects them. It forges them. Mona says it's like you take ore, you take iron, you take rock, and when you put it into a hot furnace, so the gold comes out of it, the steel comes out of it. This is the same thing what Yisurin does to a person. But the Gemara says, "Out talkage, he must not reject it. He must not look at it with disdain. He has to be makabel be'av. He has to accept it in good faith. Accept it with simcha. Then it'll do its job." Then the Gemara says, Behainu the Reb Shimon Lakish. Doma Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Nema Bris Bemelech, Venema Bris Beyesurim. It says the word Bris, a covenant, in regards to salt. Kodesh Baruch Hu made covenants in salt. And they're called Bris Melech. Because he said salt is something which not only lasts forever, but we even use salt to keep other things from rotting. Benema bris b'yisurin. And the word covenant is also used by Yisurin. Ele divrei abris. After all of the rebukes, it says this is the covenant. Why? To tell us, ma bris oma b'melech, melech mamtekes es abosar, a bris oma b'yisurin, yisurin mamarekes kol aveneisub shlodom. Just like salt. If you put salt on meat, what does it do? Softens the texture of the meat. It brings out the sweetness of the meat. It takes away the hardness of the meat. It takes away the hard shell over it. Af Yisurin. The same thing when it comes to problems and affliction by the person, it softens him. It brings out the best texture in him. It brings out the sweetness of him. It purifies him from all his averus. And we have many Gemaras. The Gemara brings that the greatest heights many times a person can come to is through difficulties, through afflictions. Gemara tells us we shouldn't look for it. Rabbi Yechanan said, Lehein veleis korein. I'd rather not have the Yisurin, and I'd rather not have the reward of it. Because who can guarantee oneself that we can stand the test? So therefore we must not look for it. But if it comes our way, then we must be mekabel be'avo, smeichim b'yisurim be'avo, the Gemara says under tzaddikim, that they accept it with love. There's one other Gemara we mentioned. This is Gemara in Sanhedrin. That the Gemara brings one second. Sanhedrin in Daf Kuf Aleph Amar Aleph. Toner Rabbonin kishach kol Reb Lezer, when the great Reb Lezer became sick, nichna sudalit zekenim levakre. So four of his great disciples came, four of the elders came to visit him. Each one tried to, he was sick, he was down, each one tried to uplift his spirits. So each one said another praise about him. One said that he's greatest, he's to the world like the sun is to the world, brings sustenance and nourishment. The other one said he's to the world like rain is to the world, and so on. Rabbi Kiva, when he came to him, he merely said, Habibin Yisurin. He said, how dear is suffering. When Rabbi Lezer heard that, he said, lift me up on my bed a bit so I can hear the words of my Talmud Rabbi Kiva. And then Rabbi Kiva went on to elaborate and explain what he meant. That more than anything else was the fact that the suffering can sometimes bring the greatest levels to people, which they could not have gained otherwise. Now, I want to go on to a new point. It's quite common by many people, many of us, where we have a vision that when we are speaking about Anshei Midos, great people, the great people of Israel, we think that they do not have problems with Yisurim. They don't have difficulties. They're great people. They're great Gaonim, great Gedolim. So therefore these problems do not bother them. It bothers us, us lesser human beings, but not them. And certainly, even if they do have difficulties and afflictions, tzoros, but certainly it's not lishenis. They don't have great temptations because they're great gedolim. They don't have great tests, and they can take life as an easy walk, and they can stand up against all Yisurin like a nesher uketzvi, like an eagle and a deer, ukenoma ukari, and like a leopard and a lion. They instinctively know the right thing to do, so they don't have the confusion that we have to go through all of the time. They don't have inner struggles. They do not have the indecisions that we have. They know what to do, and they do it. And therefore, for them, life is smooth sailing. Because they're shleimim and tamimim. They have full faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unwavering faith. And therefore, they take whatever comes. This is the image that many of us construe when it comes to the Anshei Shleimim, the Gedolei Yisrael. And today, especially, the market has been flooded with a proliferation of biographies in all languages of the Gedolei Yisrael, and many of these biographies portray that picture. These were people without great inner problems. Yes, many times their life was difficult, but it didn't affect them the way it affects us. I want to say that this image is a lie, and it's a dangerous lie. And biographies that are written in this way are doing a great disservice to Israel. Because it's a fabrication, it's a fraud. You know, when I was growing up, we used to have an expression, it's a tin nickel. There was a coin which was called a nickel. It was made out of a certain metal that was a nickel. And later on, when fabrication started to come out. Leather was not genuine anymore. Rubber was not genuine anymore. Synthetics, so there was the expression, it's a tin nickel. It's not nickel, it's only tin. Today we have another expression, because tin is not tin anymore. Today we have, it's a plastic nickel. See? Everything is no longer made genuine, but it's plastic. These images that are construed are of plastic adalim. Plastic people, and plastic adalim. And it's Sheker Gomor. Why do I say this? For good reason. Had the Gedalim themselves, had they themselves written their biographies, or had people of equal stature written their biographies of others, it would have been a different picture altogether. It would not have been a portrayal of great people that never made errors, that never fall, that never fail, that never hesitate, but to the contrary. And on what do I base this? On a number of things. First of all, I had this skus, the great skus, to grow up amongst many, many Gedalim. And I can tell you, this is what I saw and this is what I heard. I'll give you one example. One of these books wrote about a certain great Gaon. He was a Rav of a community in Europe. Actually wasn't in Lithuania. And he became older and he wanted to retire to Yerushalayim. He's talking about 100 years ago. Which was the great dream of all great Gedalim. And he felt he had served his community enough. The time has come now where he must retire. He had made his decision. His community begged him to stay. No, he made his decision. He's going. He says, I'll give you one more year. When that's up, I leave. He took his family. He got on the boat. He went. And he settled in Yerushalayim and lived happily ever after. That was the chapter. This is a common problem. This particular Shiloh. The true facts of such a problem, for example, that it's told on the great Reb Lezer Gordon, Reb Lezer tells her that one of his most difficult decisions in his whole life was that when he was offered to become the Rav of Yerushalayim, whether he should leave his kehillah or not. And he struggled with that decision. And he fought with that decision. And this tormented him. And it agonized him. What was the right thing to do? And he never made peace with the decision. What made peace finally is the doctors didn't allow it. But otherwise, he never made peace. The Chofetz Chaim writes on himself how many times did he want to go to Eretz Yisrael. But he didn't know if that was the right thing for him to do. And the Gaon, Vilna Gaon, son writes that finally he came to the decision that he should leave and go to Eretz Yisrael. Packed up, he wrote the famous letter to his family, instructing them what to do until he brings them over. He left, and midway he returned home. He stopped. He reversed his decision, and will never talk about it anymore. The true Gedolim were tormented, were agonized every minute of their life, between right and wrong and wrong and right. Reb Mordechai Gifter, my Rebbe, he went to Eretz Yisrael. He set up a yeshiva there, a branch for Telz. It flourished, and then his Korash yeshiva in America died, and they told him that he has to come back And he said, no, he's not coming back. And they told him he must, and he said he's not. And finally, the Stipler, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, and the Blazer Shach, Libod Lechaim, told him he must go back. He went back because they told him he must go back. And there's not a time since then that I have not sat with him, that he has not told me over the story again and again, and can still not make peace of it, but still agonizes over it. Did he do right? Did he do right? And this is how they face decisions. Not a fairy tale that, yes, I decided I'm going, and I go, and finished, and lives happily ever after. Give you other examples. This was when it came to big decisions or it came to small things. They were tormented just like us. Naturally, it wasn't because of their smallness, it was because of their greatness. If we have such a question, so maybe we can see two or three or four are good reasons why we should go, and two or three or four are good reasons why we shouldn't go. By them, the agony is even greater, because perhaps they can see 400 reasons why they should go and 400 reasons why they should not go. Same things are not going on in their minds that are going on in our minds. But to say that they're free of error, they're free of indecision, they're free of inner struggle, there can be nothing further from the truth. It would be like a child thinks that my father has no problem. I have problems. Child has problems. But an adult, he has no problems. Sometimes we adults tell children that. We don't have any problems. You have problems. When they grow up to become adults, they find out their problems are only beginning. If someone might think that the simple worker, he has plenty of problems, but the president of the company, he has no problems. Everything is easy. One day he becomes the president of the company, he wishes when he was a simple worker again. His problems have multiplied by 1,000 times. It's like thinking that a plain citizen has a problem. Problems, but a king that sits in a palace, a president of the United States, what kind of problems should he have? What kind of indecision should he have? Why is he tormented? Could there be anything further from the truth? We say, yes, little children have little problems. And when they become big children, they become big problems. And when they become big people, they become bigger. And when you become giants, they become gigantic problems. If you think our problems are problems. I remember once, after the Ptira, after Rabbi Yemeir Bloch, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, that Elzer Rosh Yeshiva died, the Yeshiva had to be restructured. Rabbi Yemeir was the Rosh Yeshiva, and Amotel Katz, his brother-in-law, was his viceroy. Now it had to be restructured. And the question was how to restructure it. There were many candidates. There was Ramotel, who would assume Rabbi Yemeir's responsibilities, but there were others. There was Ramot Chai Gifter. When it came to become second in command, there was Ramot Chai Gifter, there was Chaim Stein, there was Boruch Sirotzkin, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. There were others. A decision had to be made. How do you make such a decision? Well, if we look like these biographies, they had the decision 1, 2, 3, finished. I remember at that time, Ramotel the Rosh Yeshiva the decision was left to him to be made. And I remember being, I don't recall, I was in a certain meeting, and someone had something very important to speak to Ramotel about. And the other one said, he won't speak to you this week. He is speaking to no one this week. He has cancelled every discussion, every arrangement, and every appointment that he made for this week. We said, why? Otto was someone that was enormously involved in the everyday things that were going on. He said, because he has a decision to make by the end of the week. And it's an enormous decision. And he doesn't want to be distracted from this decision for 1 minute, for a full week. This is how he looked at the decision. And we could see the worry on his face for a whole week. And then he called the whole yeshiva together. And he called all of the families together that were involved in the yeshiva. And you could see he was pale. You could see he was quivering because of the great awe and fear. And he said the responsibility that rests on him, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give him the strength. He's determining the future of Telz. Incidentally, this year Telz is celebrating its 120th anniversary. It was established in 1875. And this is determining the future and the direction of Telz. And he says that all of his colleagues have left the responsibility to the decision on him. And he's a don yachidi, he's an individual judge, when the sages say one should not be an individual judge, and how can he not come to this with great trepidation and with great fear? And this is how he presented his decision. He went through a week without interruption of agony and indecision. It's a little different than the stories we read. And you think in the few words that I mentioned here, this is describing it. This was on big things, but on little things also. I remember Remotel once telling me personally, he was going through a time when he was besieged with a lot of criticism. And he said in Yiddish, he said, you know, he says, if a person would be free, totally free from what other people would say about him and about what he says, think of how greater one's decisions could be. One could come out with decisions. He didn't have to worry what this one would say, what that one would say. Think how more objective he would be. This is what he told me. I hear you talking about a giant that evidently was prone to criticism, was worried about what other people said. Because he was a real giant. He wasn't a plastic giant. That's why. A gifter, I remember. Once had a new bottle came to the yeshiva. And I befriended him. And he looked like a very, very good bocher. And after a while, so I put up the suggestion, we had a small private group who used to come to the gifter and learn once a week. So I put up the suggestion, maybe we should bring him into the group, which we did. Later on, found it was a mistake. He wasn't at the level of the group at all. And this was a total waste of time for him. So I went to the gift, and the gift said, we made an error. We made a mistake. You're talking about a giant. He says, we made an error. Then he says, oh, but was can we tell yet? What can we do now? To tell him to leave, this is an insult. To let him stay, this is Beetle Terif, it's Beetle's man, it's a total waste of time. And that's how he left it. I don't know what to do. What do you mean you don't know what to do? I can say I don't know what to do, but you don't know what to do. And we just left it. He didn't know what to do. We made an error, and it's far fallen. It's too late. Because you're dealing with real individuals. and not dealing with plastic people. And we could go on and on and on, endlessly. The Vilna Gaon. Who was greater than the Vilna Gaon in the last 300, 400, 500 years? Where in two or three words could encompass worlds of Torah. How many times are stories told of him where he worked himself sick? Chaim Volozhiner, his Talmud, used to come to him. And the Gaon had something wrapped around his head. He was sick. He hadn't eaten, he hadn't drunk, he hadn't slept, because he could not come to a conclusion in Pshat in the Gemara. One story, he begged Reb Chaim, he says, come, Tova Shnai Mina Echod. It was Erev Shabbos. He says, it's almost Shabbos, you can't come to Shabbos without this. It's all kind of stories like that. Learning Chulin Yoredeya, there's a Shaila of a Sofik Trefa. In Simon Nun, Oz Dalid, the Gaon comes there, Shach Asers, forbids a certain case of a treifa. And the Gaon disagrees with him and says it's muter. He says what the Shach writes is not right. The halacha is muter. This is what he says in Simon Nun. In Simon Nun, hey, five simonim later, the Gaon is chaser. He retracts. He says, the Shach is right. Because I have now seen that the Bahag, the Hilchis Gedele, says like the Shach. And I have found other proofs like the Shach. Therefore, it's also like the Shach. Now, what do you mean the Gaon retracted? What do you mean that he made an error? He saw something later that he didn't see before. I thought he knew Kol HaTorah Kula. What do you mean he retracted? How's that possible? By us it's possible, but how's it possible to someone who's infallible? And the Gemara doesn't retract. The Gemara never retracts. The Gemara is full of retractions. Every page. But someone puts down an opinion until proven otherwise. Because the Gaon was real, he wasn't plastic, that's why. That's why he retracted. It's because he came to the highest levels of Torah possible. And he saw that this was permitted, and he disagreed with the Shach. But then he came to even a higher level, and he saw that the Shach was right, he was wrong, and he retracted. Five simonim later. Now, what I'm saying is the Chazal tell us this. The Chazal tell us in Masechet Avos and Perakei Mishneh Gimel, Asora Nishenis Nisa by Avram Avinu. Avram, who was the greatest, the beginning of our forefathers, was given 10 tests. A test is not something that a person is not bothered by. 10 tests, 10 great trials, which was enough to destroy and knock over anyone else almost in the world. And Avram agonized with it, and he suffered from it. The greatness of Avraham was that he succeeded. And there it speaks, the Medrash says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Avraham 10 tests? Because it says, when the potter, he bangs his pots after he finishes them, the makor potish, he bangs them and bangs them, because when they're finishing, the harder he will bang them, the stronger they'll become. Since the potter knows which ones he can hit hard and which ones he dares not hit hard. Because some are weak and he'll break them. Or the donkey master knows which donkeys he has to put a light load on and which ones he can put a heavy load on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Abraham could carry a heavy load. And this is how he was megadol, how he made Abraham great. The Torah tells us about Yaakov. When he came to meet Esau, Vayiro Yaakov Meod, he was afraid, he was terrified. Atzileni no min Esau ochi, ki yore anoichi. Why is Yaakov being terrified? Yaakov was the Ishtam. What happened to his faith? Why was he afraid? Now again, might not have been afraid for the reasons we would have been afraid, but nevertheless he was afraid. And it states that for 22 years Yaakov never forgave himself, tormented himself. You know what it is to torment yourself for 22 years? Because he felt himself guilty for what he thought was the death of Yosef. For 22 years he tormented himself. And he said he will never see Olam Haba. It was his fault that Yosef died. And he never would accept comfort or condolences. 22 years. The fact is, Yaakov Bikei Shalva, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is my life so tormented? Why do I have so much difficulties? All my life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him, you want peace in this world? He says, you have so much peace coming to in the next world. What do you need so much peace in this world for? This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered. And Moshe, there was nobody like Moshe, who spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu per el per. He saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu and spoke to him and asked him things and talked to him. Yet we see Moshe's life was all full of complaint and torment. How many times does he tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He says, how can I carry this nation? They're crushing me. I can't take it anymore. Old Miatus Kaluni, they're going to stone me. Are they my children that I'm obligated to carry them all, to feed them all? Lighten my burden from me. Heim lo yishmu li. They won't listen to me. What are you telling me to go to them for? They won't listen to me. What are you telling me to go to Paray for? Mi ani, who am I? He won't listen to me. Lo mishlachocho, what did you send me to Paro for? He came to complain against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I was better off before, and now that I went to Paro, look what happened. How many times did he get angry, Moshe? The Chazal say he got angry and he forgot halachos because he got angry. We're talking about Moshe, the most perfect man in the universe. Evidently he wasn't made of plastic. Until there was one test that Moshe failed at his level. That of Mei Meriva, of the waters. And it was such a subtle failure that we're not even sure what the failure is. Because if you look in all of the Rishonim, everybody has a different version. We can't even see what exactly was the failure. Yet by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe, he said, Yan le'amantim bi. You didn't believe in me. Do you know to accuse someone of lack of belief, there cannot be a graver accusation? I accuse someone that heaven forbid, you're a kafir, you deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't believe him. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu accused Moshe of. Yan le'amantim bi. You didn't believe in me. Therefore you will not take this nation into Eretz Yisrael. But Mace, you will die here in the desert. Moshe failed that test. Again, for us that would have been flying colors. For Moshe,
Now where is the life for these people? Easy. Problems. Isa, 1, 2, 3, finished. Temptations. Challenges. Nah, nothing. The Torah is full. You read Dovid HaMelech. Someone studies Nach. One would think that Dovid HaMelech didn't have a day of peace in his whole life. Not a day of peace in his whole life. And the Gemara Taka says it. The Gemara says 3 measures of Yisurim, 3 measures of affliction came down to the world. And one of those measures was dealt out to Dovid HaMelech, to our King Dovid. Many think to be a king, it's the time of your life. You want to know, when did he have a day of peace? Physically, he was a fugitive, always running for his life. This one didn't want to kill him, then it was someone else. If it wasn't Shaul, it was this one and that one. He had enemies surrounding him all of the time. But how many times did he agonize? He didn't know which way to go. What should he do? Look at his Tehillim. His Tehillim is constantly, he's beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show me Hareini No, show me the way to go. Give me a little light. I wait for your direction. I wait for your Eitzah. He hardly had plastic problems. This was Dovid HaMelech. We could go on endlessly. We'll make mention one more. And this is someone that the Torah tells us, the Gemara, who rose to the greatest heights as humanly possible. And the Gemara says, even in a phase higher than Moshe Rabbeinu. This was Rabbi Akiva. Now what do we think? He was problem free. First of all, for 40 years he was a rebel. For 40 years, the Gemara tells us, he calls himself an Amoritz. An Amoritz was not only an ignorant person. An Amoritz was a person who was opposed to the Chachmei Yisrael, to the sages of Yisrael. And Rabbi Akiva says on himself that when he used to see the Talmidei Chachomim, he had enormous hatred for them. Enormous hatred. This was the turmoil in him during his first 40 years. Now, do you think he just missed a simple decision after 40 years of living? And Rabbi Akiva was Kiryat Gavra. You're talking about giants, you're talking about people with gigantic powers, gigantic energies, gigantic emotions. So you think that just after 40 years, Rachel gave him a proposition and he put 40 years of his life in one chapter and he opens up another chapter just like that, that I'll sit down and learn for the rest of my life and then I'll have 24,000 disciples. Do you think it goes just like that? The war and conflict that Rabbi Akiva had was a world war to change 40 years life pattern, of which he had so much emotion in him, hatred for the Chachomim, and to turn towards Torah. And then he started to dedicate himself to Torah like no man ever dedicated himself before, under great sufferings, under great insult. He was thrown out of he and his wife from their place. They were cut off under dire poverty. What do you think that it just went? Every day was a new test to him. Every day was a new war. Maybe every hour was a war. Until he rose up to such heights. But the Gemara talks that there was no one that had a greater honor for Torah, or a greater love for the Chachomim, than Rabbi Akiva. We don't have time to go into detail. We've gone into this before. Then we take another case. He puts in a life work that was a second life. His first life was the 40 years, so now it's a second life. Today they would classify this mid-year crisis, midlife crisis. So now he puts in a second life. Second life, he spends another 40 years spreading Torah throughout the whole world. Yud Beis Zugeis Talmidi, 24,000 students. Then he watches them be wiped off the earth in front of his eyes. Bein Pesach La'atzeres, between Pesach and Shavuos. States that Rabbi Akiva got up and he went to the south and he started to teach Torah again to five Talmidim. Do you think the next day he got up and he went to the south and he just started to teach Torah to five Talmidim? You think that's how it goes? Maybe that's how the biographies will tell it. Those who are not Rabbi Akivas. But Rabbi Akiva will tell it a little differently. He was a broken man. How could he not be broken? If a person, we are availing. Right. Here, thousands of years later, we mourn his 24,000 students. The whole Klal Yisrael being Pesach La'atzeres. So Rabbi Akiva didn't mourn. He saw a Holocaust. He lived through it. He was destroyed. He was broken. The greatness of Rabbi Akiva was, is one day he told himself, I gotta pull myself up from the ground again. I'm still alive. I have to go further. And he rose up again. To say that our giants, whether they're giants of the Torah, Shebek Sav, whether they're giants of the Nach, whether they're giants of the Mishnah, of the Gemara, of the Rishonim, of the Achreinim, of our times, to say that they don't fall, they don't make mistakes. How can you say that they fall? It's a lie. Shlomo HaMelech said not like that. Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishlei, Chov Dalid, he says, what is the difference between a tzaddik and a rosha? In Mishlei Chov Dalid Tes Zayin, he says, the difference is ki sheva yipol tzaddik. The tzaddik falls seven times. The kom, but he gets up. Rishoyim yikoshlu v'ro. The rosha falls once, and he's finished. Heaven forbid to say that they don't fall. It's a lie. It's a fabrication. King Solomon testifies to it. The tzaddik falls seven times, and before Hashem say, why seven? Seven is a lotion that's always used for ribut, for multitude. The tzaddik is always falling. But he's not a tzaddik because he didn't fall. Then he would be inhuman, he would be an angel, he'd be plastic. He falls. But he's a tzaddik because after being on the ground, he realizes, this is not the place for me, and let me get up. Come, that's why he's the tzaddik. Rabbi Akiva fell hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. But the greatness of Rabbi Akiva was not that he didn't fall. The greatness of Rabbi Akiva is you couldn't keep him on the ground. But calm. And that's the same with Avraham and all of them. Now, it's interesting. I was very happy because I just recently saw that the late Rav Hutna Zecher Tzadik Livracha writes on this subject. And he writes in a sefer, Pachad Yitzchok, which was published a few years ago, of his letters. He has a letter to a Talmud, Simon Kuf Chof Ches. And the letter was written in Tov Shin Chof Gimel. It's about 30 years ago. And it seems from the letter, but it's clear, it becomes clear from the letter, that he's writing to a Talmud who he had seen very, very strong potential powers in this Talmud. And this Talmud could grow great in Torah. But the Talmud, the disciple, writes him that he's having a tough time. He's having a lot of knocks, a lot of yeridus. He's getting knocked off his horse a lot of times. He's having difficulty keeping up his motivation and learning. And there are many obstacles standing against him. And he's having enormous problems with his determination, and he feels his Yetzer Hara is getting the best of him, and he feels like a failure. And this is what he writes to Rafutna. So Rafutna writes him back. He says, "Deya cholehi etzleinu." He says, "There's a great sickness by us." He calls this a sickness. There's a great sickness by us. See, this Talmud wrote that he had hopes and visions. He would climb to great heights in Torah. And he sees not the state that he is. He says, "There's a great sickness by us." This was in 30 years ago, before the proliferation of all of these biographies. He says that when we speak about our Gedalim, we speak about the level they reached after a year's work, a life's work. We speak about that level. And Mesaprin Onu Darkesh Hashleim Shalehem. And that's what we talk about. And we don't talk about the rest of their life. We don't talk about how they got there. We talk about the Chazen Ish when he was the Chazen Ish. About the Chofetz Chaim when he was the Chofetz Chaim. But we don't talk about the Chazen Ish in the 60, 70 years that it took him to become that way. Or the Chofetz Chaim in the 100 years that it took him to become that way. That we forget about. And the image that we construe is as if these people were created in this manner. The Chofetz Chaim, he was the Chofetz Chaim from the time he was born. Chazon Ish was born the Chazon Ish. The Vilna Gaon was born the Vilna Gaon. And he says, not only this is a distortion, this is an evil sickness by us to think of such a thing. He says, everybody, he says, I'll give you one example. He says, I could give you 1,000 examples, elef, but I can't, the letter will be too long. So I'm going to give you one example, and you're a chochem. And from there you can be done min haklal el haklal. From there you can learn to the rest. He says, everybody speaks how the Chofetz Chaim was so zohir, how he was so careful that he could always talk and carry. The Chofetz Chaim wasn't a quiet person. He says he was reisha medabrin. He always led the conversations. But everybody talks how he could, and these were people that knew him, how he could talk and lead the conversation, but still never say a word lashon hara. He says, that's what everybody talks about the Chofetz Chaim. He says, how do you think the Chofetz Chaim became that way? You think he was born that way? Is that what you really think? Mi yedea min kol ha-milchomesh. Why don't we talk about the life of war that the Chofetz Chaim had with himself? Hama'afkim. The wrestling that he had with himself. Hamikshalim. The time that he was tripped up. Hanefilais. The time that he fell. Vahanesigais la'ocher. The time that he was driven back. That the Chofetz Chaim found had to grapple with his Yetzer Hara during the whole lifetime until he came to this level. He says, you think these levels, if these levels come by themselves, so what's so great about them? So why are they the greats of Israel? They're the greats of Israel because they achieved such levels. And how do you achieve such levels? You achieve such levels by every day and every hour fighting and fighting with your Yetzer Hara. and winning a battle and then losing a battle and winning and then get pushed back and then get thrown down and then say, "Oi, I told myself I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara." And I did speak Lashon Hara. And this goes on for a lifetime. This is how he became the Chofetz Chaim. He says, "Why don't we talk about that if we want to speak about the G'daylim?" And this is one example. He says, there are thousands of examples. He says, it's a very dangerous type of thinking. Why? Because when we, now, you take a person or you take a young man and he wants to grow great in Torah, so the minute he's knocked back, or the minute he's knocked off his horse, or the minute that he feels that he has to grapple with his Yetzer Hara, he is convinced that he is no longer sitting Bebeis Hashem. He's not Shosel Bebeis Hashem. And therefore he has no part in such greatness. And he says, "I'll tell you something." He says, "You have more identification with the G'dayli Yisrael when you feel that you're at the heat of battle with your Yetzer Hara and he keeps overcoming you, and you are more in the Beis Hashem than if you felt that things are going perfectly, they're smooth, life is no problem." He says, if you would feel that learning is not a problem, and life is not a problem, things are perfect, he says, then I can tell you that you cannot identify with the G'dayli Yisrael at all, because this was not them. Then you're talking about something else altogether. Maybe that's good for Hollywood. See? When you feel that, how can I carry on? How many setbacks have I had? How many times have I fallen? How many failures have I had? I cannot carry on anymore. He says, then you're identifying with the giants of Israel. You're more closer to them than you were before. Because that's the only way they became the giants. He says, you should know that the road to greatness is the war with the Yetzer Hara. That's the road to greatness. Not the sitting in peace in the green pastures. And when you're in the heat of war, then you are achieving greatness. When you're in the green pastures, you're not. And this is the life of all of those that were great. And he says, there's an English expression, lose a battle and win the war. He says, this is very true. Don't be afraid of losing a battle. There's nothing wrong with losing a battle. This is what we said in that pasuk. There's nothing wrong with falling. There's something wrong without falling. If you have a child that never falls, you better take him to the doctor. The Gemara says, the only time we really understand halacha is when we erred in it and we realized our mistake. Losing battles, he says, that's good. The main thing is to win the war, though. Many times we have to lose the battle to win the war. So to grapple with the Yetzer Hara and have a setback, and people say, they throw up their arms and they say, look, I've had so many setbacks, this is all not for me, let me try something easier. Now, that's not the way to greatness. Setbacks make great people, but you have to be able to come back from them and to win the war. Then he says something very interesting. He says, the Chazal say, The Chazal say then he brings the posuk. He brings the posuk that we brought. Ki tzadik, ki sheva yipol v'tzadik v'kom. But he adds a new dimension in it. He says the tzadik falls 7 times and he gets up. Now we will die from there. You see from there that the tzadik is not someone that doesn't fall. Tzadik falls unaccountable times. The tzadik is because every time you throw him down, he's up again. That's the tzaddik. He adds a new dimension. He says, the simple pshat is, and no matter how many times he falls, he'll get up. The Rishonim won't. He says, there's another dimension. The only way, the only reason why he becomes a tzaddik, and why he's kom, he can get up, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw him down. The tzaddik has to fall 7 times. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure. Because each time he's thrown down, he gets up with more vigor and strength. And he gets up to a higher level. Tzadik yipol ki tzadik yipol sheva v'kom. Why is the tzadik kom? Why does he get up to such heights? Because I threw him down 7 times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. In other words, it's like the trainer we said. When I keep hitting him hard and throwing him down, each time he gets up even to greater heights. So he says, so how can it be? You have visions that you can't identify with godless Torah, with greatness in Torah, because you find all yourself all the time you're on the mat. It's a horror, knocks you out, knocks you over. He says, that's the best thing. And then he writes like this. He says, the Chazal tell us, Vayar es kol asher osa vihinei tov mi'od. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw everything that he made in the creation, and he says it's tov mi'od, good and very good. What is the good and what is the very good? Tov ze yetzer tov. The good is the yetzer tov. Mi'od, the very good, ze yetzer hara. This is the yetzer hara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the yetzer hara more than the yetzer tov. Because if a person had only a yetzer tov, then he would be like these plastic biographies. Wouldn't be human. That would be good maybe by the Malachim. We take everything in stride, and comes what may, it's no problem. We make our decisions and we stick to them and finished. We don't have to bother with difficult chapters of life or agonizing indices or inner struggles. But because we have the Yetzer Hara, that makes sure that we have difficulties and we have confusion and we have inner struggles and we have obstacles and we have torment and agonizing and so on and so on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that a bigger brocha, because that will make great men, not the Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Hara will make the great men. So he writes like this. He says, had you written me a letter telling me that everything is going terrific, he says, your learning is outstanding, and your bitochen is outstanding, and your avodah is outstanding, so I would have answered you tov. Now that you write me a letter that everything is wrong, your learning is not good, and your avodah is not good, and your bitochen is not good, on that I answer you tov me od. That's a letter not told, that's a letter told me owed. Because now I can see that you are in hot war with your Yetzer Hara, and you can become a conqueror. And you can become great in Israel. The other way, you would have never become great in Israel. You see what he writes? This is the subject that we're speaking about. So, this has to do with Yisurin and Nishainas. And this affects everyone. The only ones that does not affect, but like the Gemara tells us, is when a person leaves this world. Once he leaves this world, that's the Olam HaManucha. That's the world of rest. But this world is Hayem La'aseisei. Now we asked one further question. We said some people get very embittered, and they say that life has not been good to me. Life has not dealt me a fair share. It's been a disappointment. If we view this life as something to come and take from, it's a grand party, and everybody gets something to take, then it's a good complaint. He got this, and he got this, and he got this, and look what I got. But that's not what life is for. That could be Tov. That would be the Yetzer Tov. That's not the Tov Mi'od. The Tov Mi'od is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a life to achieve greatness, to attain perfection. This is why the neshama, the soul, came to this world. For the party, the soul had a better party up there. It came, it's an life, every minute was given to us as an opportunity to attain further greatness. And the only way one can attain further greatness is Tov Mi'od, say Yetzer Hara, where the Yetzer Hara does a good job. So therefore, if a person says, life has been a disappointment to me, he could say, I'm disappointed in myself. That's something else. I'm disappointed in myself. I fell many times and I didn't get up. But to complain that I have fallen so many times, that looking at the world with an honest vision in accordance to the Torah, that is not only Tov, that's Tov Mi'od. That was the life of Yaakov. That was the life of Yosef, of Avraham. But they wanted to know, why so much? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do you mean, why so much? With each one I am making you even greater and greater. Do you want me to remove that from you? So that would help us understand both questions. Why are Yisurin come in this world? And Nishonos? And how to judge a good life, a life that's good in this world, or a life that's very good in this world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.